This is Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN. It's our daily in-depth look at people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. Now, Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
All right, afternoon. Thanks for being here. Well, today marks the one-year employment anniversary of Superintendent Jared Corden in Roseburg Public Schools. Sometimes you would be getting a cupcake or something like that to mark the 1 year. But this has turned into probably the at least a third of it, the 1 year that you weren't expecting.
Yeah, there were some definitely some curveballs, some things we couldn't expect this year for sure. But overall, it's been a really incredible year.
So overall, talk about what your first year of leading Roseburg Public Schools was like, not only your first year in the area, but also your first time as the superintendent of a district.
Well, I would say I've had an opportunity to just to reflect on the year. It's been a really amazing year. I absolutely love our kids. I love our community. Love our staff. Love our board. It's really been a great year. It's been a year of a lot of learning for me. It's been a year of trying to find ways to go from getting better to looking at how to get good and how to not be complacent about moving the work forward.
So before March, talk about some of the initiatives or plans, ideas that you began to put together, because you looked like you were going through and kind of assessing just about everything.
Yeah, we're certainly still doing that. I mean, the premise, I think, when I got here was to get a sense of, again, what we're doing well and where we need to improve at. Really, it was making sure every kid has a great learning experience and a great place to learn. Every teacher has a great place to teach. So we did some great things this year. Even post-COVID, it doesn't shift our focus. We developed a strategic plan, which is kind of like our business plan, if you will, this year. We implemented an instructional framework this year. We looked at how to increase safety partnerships and develop lasting community partnerships this year. So a lot of great work has happened that will help us as we move into this next year.
And let's talk about the aspect of safety. You brought in a new position to the budget. Talk about what some of your plans are for that.
Yeah, we did. And again, I think that position came really as a result of taking a look at where we're at in terms of our board vision and strategic vision. We really want to make sure that when parents drop their kids off to school, that those kids, at a minimum, come back better than they dropped them off with us. So I definitely saw some areas we needed to have some improvements in terms of safety. And we had started some really great and continue some really great safety partnerships with multiple agencies and departments across our city, our county, and the state. This position just helps us accelerate those. Ed Villarreal has done a great job. He is our district safety coordinator. I don't know if he knew his job would be as involved with COVID. Of course, it's any active threat, and that can be, in this world of a pandemic, it can be a virus. That position is an important position. Again, we were able to fund that position based on some SAFE rebates. And I am confident that position will pay for itself multiple times over financially, certainly will in other ways as well. I will say this too, one thing that we've really tried to look at, it's been a focus since I've been here, is making sure that our investments are yielding return and that they're connected to what our goals are. And the goal around student safety and the idea of, are we getting a return out of this position? We certainly have gotten a return this year out of that position.
Well, and also kind of tied in with that, you went around and looked at buildings and sort of assessed some of the things that you would like to see take place, coming from the Beaverton School District, where most of the schools, not all, but majority, are a lot newer than schools in Roseburg. You ran into some challenges maybe you weren't expecting.
Yeah, I mean, when I had done a tour of some of the schools kind of during that interview process and coming down, and I had a sense of kind of where things were at. We don't want to be, I always want to resist complacency of being, it's okay. So we have done quite a bit of work of taking a look at where we're currently at, where we want to be, what's the plan for the next 5, 10, 30, 50, 100 years here in the school district. Post our bond, those are still issues that remain. How do we protect the community's investments in our schools? But the idea of safety and security is something that has kept me up at night in our schools. We have some safety designs that don't allow us to know who's in our buildings always. And that is still a concern. It has helped with some of the structural and operational components of how we can think about that. But there are some architectural and technology components we do need to consider as a community to keep our kids safe.
So you put a bond out there in May. Well, who would know at the time that you deal with the COVID-19 and a big economic hit and all of that. And while the bond had a lot of support, it was a pretty tight margin, it did fail. Mm-hmm. What do you do with that?
Well, I think we try to figure out what we can learn from it. We, we learned a lot during the process, certainly. Running a bond in a pandemic is an interesting experience, but I was hopeful it would pass. It was indeed close. But I acknowledge fully that there were concerns around economy and dollars. So what we're doing now is figuring out, what can we learn from this? What is the why? So we've looked at precinct data. We've looked at exploring, were there items in there that weren't clear enough for people? Were there items that didn't have a level of support? Remember, we actually spent quite a bit of time doing some polling with our community and paid to have that done. We had a good sense pre-COVID what people would support. The bond was developed around the community's support of those items. So we tried, we're trying to figure out why. I'll work with the board coming up this next month to determine next steps on the bond, kind of what that means. Will we run again? When will we run again? It won't be November, I can say that. We had a matching grant from the state of Oregon for $5.88 million. There's a process to get in line for that grant. The earliest we're eligible for that grant is in May of 21. So next steps are just to try to understand why, try to understand, what the community needs to feel good about saying yes to that. And so that's the work we've been about here this last month.
Well, even though there was a structural change kind of in the process of deciding to not assess that for an additional year, back it up, hoping that would make folks feel a little better in the economic climate they were dealing with. Clearly, though, a lot of people were out of work. Everything was up in the air, and it was a very uncertain time for people. And I'm sure a lot of folks who might have been more supportive kind of had to look at their own family and finances, and that probably factored in.
Without a doubt, I think it did. I can't say with certainty how it factored in, but it clearly did factor in. And I acknowledge there was a lot of trepidation and concern around what the future is going to hold. I will say this, though, on that box, when you are going to vote yes or no, and we actually had quite a few people that didn't vote. Sometimes those undervotes may be on the back, but there's not a box that says yes if or yes when. And so it's just a yes or no vote. And so we do think the polling would tell us we did have a delta in that probably did lead to some uncertainty about the future, economic future in our community.
What are your thoughts overall about the staff at Roseburg Public Schools?
Yeah, I'm really, really pleased. We have great people that are working with our kids. As a parent, I'm super excited to send my kids to school each day. Had a daughter who was a senior who did her last year, kind of first and last year here as a student, and two other kiddos. Really impressed with the quality of people we have, their commitment to our kids. It's a staff that's willing to try new things, to listen and to pivot, not stuck in tradition. So love that about the staff. They've been great to work with.
Going to take a break at Inside Douglas County. More with Superintendent Jared Corden of Roseburg Public Schools when we come back. The interview, a podcast after 1 at 541radio.com, 1246 at News Radio 1240, KQEN. Inside Douglas County, 1247, Lars Larson coming up at 1 this afternoon. And Superintendent Jared Corden with us from Roseburg Public Schools talking about the year. So you go along for several months. You came last summer. You start doing all of these things. And then you begin to hear something in the news about a virus in China and now starting to have some impacts in Oregon. Talk about what that first week or so of March was, starting on about March 7th and 8th as we went into the emergency declarations and all of that. I know the few days leading into it, anyone who had a job in the public sector was getting a lot of information put in front of them, but suddenly one Sunday, boom, it happens.
Yeah. It was, I think, you know, we don't do pandemics that often in this country. So it's something I think we're still trying to figure out. The delta between what some people think is real and not at the state and national level. But it was a time of trying to figure out where that pivot was going to come. We thought it was likely that they were starting to consider restrictions at schools might come into play. And remember, the decision from the state was largely made because of concerns around staff, and it wasn't primarily based around student health. It was more based around, will we have teachers and staff that can actually do school? I think that conversation has shifted over the last couple of months. But it was a time of a little bit of confusion, I would say, at different agencies. And it was a time of trying to make sense of things that were shifting literally multiple times in the day in terms of what the expectation of our schools would be to respond to this. I think we had certainly had staff and certainly our parents and community that were trying to figure out how they were going to respond in their own families to how we responded. And we were trying to figure out how the state and Oregon Health Authority and other departments who give us guidance around this would respond. So it was a time of needing to be super flexible even really not just in March, but really through the end of the year, having to be adaptable and flexible and honestly ask for grace from our staff and community as things were changing quite often on our side. I think we developed 7 different plans between March and April that rolled out to staff on how we were going to proceed, and then it shifted. So there was, I often say, blessed are the flexible, for they shall not be bent out of shape. And that was certainly the case in the month of March.
Well, I know even in doing news, there were times when various levels of government, whether it was education, state, Douglas County, whatever, would put out a press release. I'd work on a news story. Hour later, they thought of something else, and it changed, and sometimes radically changed. And there were news stories that I think I re-released 3 or 4 times just out of editing some of the material, and I'm sure that was the case for you as well. Things happen so quick. So it went from the idea of, okay, about a 2-week spring break, they'll have some time, they'll figure this out, to huge changes. And as I've talked to other people in education, things that if you would normally say, okay, let's see how we would do this, you'd have a committee that would meet for a year, and they'd make recommendations, and they'd be vetted, and maybe a board would have to sign off. I mean, all of these quick changes with, on a dime.
Yeah. And I think there certainly were. And I'm really grateful for the way that people responded to having patience as we needed to make changes. I will say this, one thing that I've mentioned multiple times since I've been here is I hold myself accountable that we will have a plan to support people in what we ask them to do. So I think if you're an organization that just puts an edict out and expects people to go do it, this could have been a little easier. But what was challenging for me personally was, I want to make sure is we ask staff or kids or community to we're going to go down this path, that there's a parallel path that goes before that. It says, here's how we're going to support you in that. So it did make it difficult to provide that plan of support for people. And so that was probably the biggest challenge of, how do we support what's now being asked on a dime? And I think going into the future, that's probably something that is also a wondering of how quick we'll be able to make that support plan to say, here's what we're asking and here's how we're going to help you get there.
How do you think late March to early June went in terms of what happened and the shift to online and contacting students and food distribution and all that?
Well, I think there were some real highlights. I don't think... I don't think anything can oftentimes replace having contact with kids. I think there was, and I will say this, I think that the impacts were disproportionate. I think that some students did fine. I think that some students actually thrived having this be at a distance. Oftentimes those students have some supports at home that others don't. they could go explore and do some things possibly. We had some students that it was a real struggle with. I do think there were a couple, and we certainly had some highlights, absolutely, in the teaching and learning space and the distance learning space, for sure. We were able to deliver about 250,000 meals in that time for our families. We upstarted childcare and for our first responders and those families. So I think there's some real positives. Do I think kids are going to come back further behind than they would have if it wasn't for the closure? Without a doubt. Without reservation, kids will need to be at our best to make sure we can close the gap for kids.
And that's got to be a challenge looking forward when you have curriculums that are designed for different grades. Let's say grade 5, where maybe you would learn more about Oregon and U.S. history and things like that. And you only got through some of it and some of it you didn't. So what do you do with sixth graders, things like that? Probably a lot of things to look at.
Yeah, there's definitely, we need to think about some redesign. We have been. A lot of this will be driven by the guidance from the Department of Education and the Oregon Health Authority, which is in the Ready School Safe Learner guidance. It's a thick kind of detailed blueprint that we'll need to do around multiple areas around health and safety and instruction and equity and inclusion. So we'll develop those, but some of the restrictions in there around whether it's spacing or cohorting to keep kids safe will determine how we can move forward. So we need to figure out how to do that best moving forward this next year.
A lot of venues and places that have been allowed to reopen, the state has come out with fairly consistent guidance in terms of 6-foot area. So for instance, if you have an auditorium, you're at about 1/3 capacity. School classrooms are not designed to be all spread out, and that's got to pose some challenges.
Yeah, we've got square footage numbers for every building, every classroom, every space of ours, and we're trying to calculate how to stay within those guidelines but work effectively next year. So yes, and it's interesting because some of what was recommended last week or required last week is now recommended. So things have shifted a little bit. Case in point would be buses. We're trying hard to make sure elementary schools can open every day next year. If we followed the recommended guidance, in a bus you could get 72 kids on, you could fit maybe 1/3 of those students. So we have to there will be some gray next year about what's recommended for health and safety and what's required for health and safety. We'll have to manage that with where we need to be with our kids next year.
And that poses challenges that will vary by different schools. I mean, you could have kids that are bused but are fairly close. I mean, you could work with parents to get more kids delivered, things like that. But for kids that are way out in the country, not so much.
Yeah. We've run through, multiple scenarios about, how can we provide a safe learning environment for our kids and have the highest quality learning experience for our kids and families.
So what are some of the plans? I mean, this has got to be one of those summers that you're really not getting any days off.
Yeah, there's a lot to figure out next year. And again, the guidance, we have guidance we received, updated guidance yesterday, July 21st. We received additional guidance and things could change. It could change in terms of distancing requirements. So we really, what we're doing now is we have kind of active 5 plans we're working through. We're going to present that plan to our board on the 15th. I'm going to wait to get out to the community until the 21st of July, following the guidance from ODE, because I think it could shift a little bit. We'd like to get out to our families by the 21st of July. This is the plan for next year. There's another update planned for August 11th with the Department of Education. And I would anticipate there'll be shifts all year. We have surveyed parents, students, and staff about questions coming back, and we'll do that again. And I would guess those numbers in terms of how comfortable people are coming back will probably change as things change throughout the year.
Well, and then if the state on August 11th comes out and makes any significant shifts, you've really got 3 weeks to figure out how to deal with them at that point.
Yeah, and there's actually some important legislative work that needs to happen in terms of liability and some funding pieces. So there's lots to happen. I'm hoping operationally we can be able to get a plan in place that we can really develop and support. We're hoping there's no shifts after July 21st, but I would anticipate there will be some.
Well, probably an unforgettable first year for you.
It's been a really interesting way to get to know our community, but a wonderful way to get to know our community and kids this year.
All right, Superintendent Jared Corden from Roseburg Public Schools, thanks for coming in.
It's a pleasure. Thank you very much.
1257 News Radio 1240 KQEN.
Listening to Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN. A daily look at the people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. The show will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it and let others who weren't listening live know about today's show. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications. Your home for Douglas County's news team. News Radio 1240 KQEN.